Maybe. Yes, sir!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the You're Still Out Golf Podcast. I am your host, JT. Unique episode for us today, covering the Schooner Fall Classic being held at Belmar, being hosted by the University of Oklahoma women's golf team, 13th year that it has been in existence. Today's pod is going to really just be grabbing coaches, players for some sound bites as they either come in to the clubhouse or we catch them out on the course. So this will be a bit of a medley episode. I really want to shine the light on the women's college golf game. These girls are really, really phenomenal golfers. And unlike a lot of their male peers, you know, are going to go on to be pro in something else. So very cool to get to meet a lot of them, hear their stories, and see how skillful they are out on the golf course. I want to give a shout out to the Toby Keith Foundation, one of the beneficiaries of this event. Also want to give a shout out to Sportique Apparel. They are the sponsor for this episode, provided some sick hoodies for the players that are participating this week. Designed a nice logo for the Schooner. Going to have a few of those left over. Might give a couple of those away online, so be looking for that out on our Twitter handle, at YSO Golf. But again, just going to kind of weave in and out of coaches' interviews, player interviews, and so we hope you enjoy this potpourri popcorn session of the You're Still Out Golf Podcast. All right, grabbed OSU women's head golf coach Greg Robertson to spend a few minutes with us, kind of in between nines here of the college AM that's part of the Schooner. Greg, first of all, how are you? I'm looking forward to getting to catch up with you.
Yeah, doing well. This is our second tournament of the year, and just excited to get going again.
Yeah, for sure. Well, my first question for you is talking about Belmar a little bit. You know, we have a lot of really great golf courses in the state of Oklahoma. You guys get to play a lot of those. But talk about Belmar specifically as a tournament host site and some of the things that make it stand out or particular challenges around here.
Yeah, we've been playing this tournament even back in the days when we were at Kent State. You know, so it's been a while. But the golf course is as good as I've seen it. You know, the condition is great. It looks like they're going to be playing us a little bit further back, some tees that we haven't played before. So I think it's going to be a challenge this week, especially when you throw in the wind. And then, of course, it seems like every year that we play this course, we play the practice round with one wind, and then at some point during the tournament, it's a complete 180, which, you know, makes it a good test. But no, the course itself is in perfect shape.
Yeah, I've got to walk around a little bit, and it is in fantastic condition, no doubt. Talk to me about the Cowgirls going into this fall. You know, a strong finish to the end of the year last year. You do have several folks back off of that team. You mentioned your one tournament under the belt so far. What? Let me give you two things. One thing that you kind of expected out of the team so far, and then one thing that surprised you, whether that be kind of good or something you need to work on.
Well, you know, this. Coming into this year, we've got three back from the team that finished 11th at Nationals last year, you know, we lost one to graduation and one to the transfer portal, and you know, so we still have, you know, three out of the five, including first team All-American Maddie Henson-Tolchard, and but we're going to be pretty young, especially at the bottom end of the lineup. You know, with we've got three freshmen, all three of them are here this week, two of them are playing as individuals, But I think all of them have a chance to compete for the, you know, top five in the lineup. I would say, you know, coming off of last year's performance from Maddie Henson-Tolchard as the Big 12 Player of the Year and First Team All-American, she pretty much picked up where she left off at Pebble Beach, had a top 10 there, finished off with two. I think she was 6 under on the last two rounds. You know, so she's playing solid golf. And, you know, we'll see where we are by the end of the year, by the end of the semester with the bottom half of that lineup. But we've got some players that, you know, I think have potential to do some good things. Angelica Peppercorn is a senior, has only played one time her entire career in the lineup, and before Pebble Beach, and stepped out there at Pebble Beach and first two rounds was 74-72. And so she, you know, that was a you know, pleasant surprise for us, and she's playing better than we've ever seen her play. And so she's going to be also in the mix for, you know, a spot in the lineup as well.
I want to talk a little bit about Pebble Beach. I know that the Carmel Cup is what you're referencing there. And, you know, small field, you know, because it's such a prestigious deal getting to go out to Pebble Beach, I believe just eight teams, am I right there?
Yeah, eight teams.
Second year for your squad to get to go out there. I'm sure the first year seemed a little bit, you know, just kind of surreal. But getting to go out there for a second year, what in particular did the group as a whole kind of improve on that second time around of getting to have that experience?
Well, I you know, even the second time around, I was still
still in that fog.
Golf course. I mean, it's just you know, it's something else. But you know, I think we learned some things from last year in terms of how to play some of the holes, and we played them a little bit differently this year. Where we finished a little bit lower this year than we did the previous year. Went back and looked, and our scores were pretty much the same. As just the conditions were probably a little bit better, but I think you know, just a great field, and you know, the depth in women's college golf is pretty amazing right now. And you know, so but that golf course and against that competition will expose you a little bit if you have some weaknesses. And certainly there were some things that we found that we can work on and need to work on moving forward. So, you know, it wasn't a bad deal for us to go there. And even though we got beat up a little bit, you know, we learned a lot about ourselves.
Yeah, that does make sense that you kind of look back at those scores and things are similar, and just other variables are what comes into play with kind of how you finish in terms of the other teams. Well, last question I have for you. Looking to the future, curious about your take on nationals. You know, we've gone, you know, 3 years at Greyhawk. Now we're switching to be out at La Costa, San Diego area. Just kind of curious your take on, you know, do you like that move? Do you feel like having I've heard it being called sort of the Rosenblatt for college baseball, College World Series, kind of having that same effect, same place year in, year out. Just what is your initial take on that?
Well, you know, I think I thought Greyhawk did a great job with hosting the event. You know, they the setup and I mean, just the hospitality and everything that went into it was a championship venue and just atmosphere. And so, hopefully, when we get to La Costa, we'll experience something similar. Really, don't know much about the golf course other than I know it's been under construction, and I think they're kind of in a fight against time right now to get it done.
Interesting.
You know, and so, but I know it's everything that I know the Golf Channel wants. It's on the West Coast for the time zone. You've got the weather is probably going to be perfect. You're not going to run into any weather issues. And so, you know, in that regard, it'll be good to be out there. If it's a championship test and a true neutral site, which to me, I think that's an important thing. You know, where nobody plays the golf course, nobody knows it until you actually get out there. You know, I hope it ends up being a good place for us. If that's where it ends up being for good, you know, then we'll have to deal with it one way or the other, whether you like it or not. But I think they'll probably, you know, from what I understand, they're putting a lot of resources into it, and they're ready to make it, you know, something special for us. So if that's the case, I'm all for it.
Well, I think that's well said, and hopefully doesn't favor one school, like you mentioned. Right. And then also, if all the schools do enjoy playing the golf course and feel like it's a championship test, all those other variables that you mentioned are going to be the thing that keeps it in the same spot, because you can't argue with that San Diego weather. The West Coast piece for TV, like you said, is huge. There's nothing better than getting home after work and getting to watch couple hours of golf. Well, I'll let you get back out to the course. Thanks for spending some time with us. And as always, we wish you best of luck during the season. Look forward to following you.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg. Went in on the golf course to grab the next couple of sound bites. The first from Iowa State head coach Christy Martin's 17th year at Iowa State, which is impressive. And then follow that with a clip from former Oklahoma Sooner, current TCU Horned Frog, Megan Winans, little sister of Libby Winans, one of our all-time favorite You're Still Out podcast guests. But here's a couple segments from out on the golf course. A little blustery out there on this sunny Friday afternoon. All right, we're here with Christy Martins, head coach of the Iowa State women's golf team. First of all, welcome to Oklahoma.
Thank you. Happy to be here. I mean, the greens are soft this year. I feel like you guys really got it set up well for us.
Well, you know, I'm curious on golf courses as it relates to you picking events, right? I know a lot of times it's just about competition and kind of what teams are going to be there, wanting to test yourself, but where does the golf course it's held at factor into you scheduling a tournament?
Yeah, I think that's a big piece of it. The support from the community, if they want you there, I think that all factors into making it a great event.
Yeah. On the flip side, are there times that you've been to tournaments, you know, we won't name any names, where it's like, wow, we'll never come back to this particular golf course?
Yes, or you feel like, okay, we're stepping on everyone's toes, or yes, 100%. Some tournaments that you don't like the setup for your team, definitely.
Let's focus a little bit on the squad itself. I'm trying to get our listeners more familiar with a lot of different golf schools, but give me one returner, right, from last year's team that you're kind of relying on to really, you know, play well this season, and then maybe one new face that Iowa State fans aren't as familiar with.
Yeah, well, Carissa Chulik-Sorn, she is a sophomore. She was NCAA Freshman of the Year last year, first team All-American, so I would say she's probably most familiar one. And we have one freshman, which is Keely Marks, and she's from Australia. She was IMG Junior World Champion, so she's also a great player.
Expecting big things from her then.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Well, I don't know if all the coaches know that Belmar is, you know, owned by Toby Keith. So, you know, not to put you on the spot, but do you have a favorite Toby Keith song?
Actually, I went to see Toby Keith in concert, and it was best concert ever. Like, I mean, such a performer, like, loved it. My assistant loves him. So I think we're some of the biggest Toby Keith fans, actually.
I'm sure he's a big listener of our podcast, mm-hmm. So he'll be happy to hear that.
Yes.
Well, I don't want to keep you too long. We're in the middle of practice around here, but appreciate you giving us some time.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
All right, we're here with TCU Horned Frog, Megan Winans, better known to us as May. It's great to see you back in Norman.
Thank you. Good to see you.
How is Belmar treating you on this blustery but otherwise nice
Friday?
Right?
I know the wind has definitely picked up. I kind of am not used to this anymore, but love Belmar. Love it. One of my favorites ever.
I know that you've gotten to play in this event a couple times now. When you think about Belmar, is it specifically a tournament golf course? Like, what stands out about it? Maybe a couple holes that, when you're kind of thinking through your round, are the ones you know that they're either looking forward to or maybe are hoping you can get through unscathed?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's number 13, and 18's a good hole. Just, I think a par's there like a birdie, so let's just go get it.
So, being back in Norman after transferring to TCU, I'm sure there's a restaurant you're like dying to take the team to, like that's like insider knowledge.
Oh gosh, one of my favorites was Valair on Campus Corner. It was a staple, so maybe so. But we're staying in OKC, so a little far away.
Metro. Yeah. Might be tough to get.
I know, but we'll see. You never know.
Well, good luck this weekend. It's fun to get to catch up with you.
Thank you.
We'll see you at the turn.
Yeah, awesome. Good to see you.
Next, we were able to track down Florida State head coach Amy Bond, defending champs of the Schooner, and she talked about not only her experience with her team at the Schooner, she's participated in all 13 renditions, but just the impact that it makes as well is what keeps her coming back. Talk about Belmar, and it never fails. The wind tends to kick up out here, and we're here on kind of practice round Friday. What particular, when it's windy, no matter what the course, always creates a challenge. Out here at Belmar, why does it make it more challenging?
You know, I think the biggest thing is it can blow in many different directions every single day. And so every day you stand up, you know, let's say you stand up on 15, it could play three different ways based on the wind direction. You know, you might be hitting driver off the tee into the wind. You might be hitting five iron off the tee if it's downwind. And if it's crosswind, you kind of got to figure out where you want to be. So I think it creates a unique set of circumstances where literally every day you set foot on the golf course, it could be different.
Well, coming back to this tournament year in, year out, again, been here since the beginning, kind of what I ask this of coaches a lot, kind of setting up a schedule and like, what is it about an event that has you keep coming back? And so what is that for the Schooner?
For me, I actually base my entire season around the Schooner, or at least the fall, because I just love the fact that all the proceeds go to the OK Kids Corral. You know, I think it gets our players understanding that, you know, they're very blessed to be playing college golf. And, you know, you get to see these youngsters dealing with cancer. And all they want to do is play on the playground, hang out with us. And, you know, we just want to put a smile on their face. So I think it certainly keeps everything in perspective. So that's why I love coming back, is because I know that the money goes to a good cause. And it also allows us to kind of get out of our life of privilege a little bit and help put a smile on some kids' faces.
A little bit of perspective, right? Mm-hmm. I know that we as golfers in general, but certainly when we're in college playing golf, we think that's the end-all be-all in doing something like that.
It's bigger than golf this
absolutely.
Week. I mean, that's the key. It's bigger than golf.
Well, real fast, trying to educate listeners on some different squads that are here this week. Give us one player on the Seminole squad that we should really keep an eye on in terms of making an impact for your team.
Well, you know, can I give you two?
Sure.
We've got two English players. One is Charlotte Heath, who is our senior. 3-year All-American, great player. Is getting ready to turn pro as soon as the season is complete. I'd keep an eye on her, but we also have a sophomore, Lottie Wode, who was the National Freshman of the Year a year ago, and she's coming off her third victory in her career last
wow.
week at the Annika Invitational. So she's certainly got it going early this year. So I look for those two to really lead us as we go.
Yeah, seeing Charlotte on kind of team competitions and seeing her kind of really blossom has been pretty cool. Well, appreciate you giving us some time. I know we're kind of in between groups here, but have a great event, and we look forward to catching up with you soon.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
You bet.
I want to provide some context for this next clip. Wake Forest came into the final round of the Schooner round three on Monday with a 13-shot advantage over second place. And talked with the head coach of the Demon Deacs about what it is like to go into a final round with that sort of lead. All right, we're here with Wake Forest head coach Kim Llewellyn. Kim, beginning the third round and final round of the Schooner, I'm kind of curious on the coach's mindset when the team has a lead mm-hmm. like you have going into the final round. And, you know, I think that in golf we use a lot of cliches, one shot at a time, things like that. Is this like the precipice of one shot at a time, where you're trying to get the girls to focus even though they have this big lead going into the last round?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. And I think the answer to that is has to do with the time of year. So we're in the fall. Mm-hmm. So our championship season's in the spring, so it's a long time to May. So yes, we're looking at this particular tournament and wanting to, once you have a lead, to hold the lead and to continue it. So we'll stick with our game plan of what we usually do in reference to course management. But we're also all trying to get better for May. So we might think out of the box a little bit. We at this time of year, we may be changing things up, trying to figure out the formula for the next year. So yes, we're seeing, hoping what we do will work to have the final score come out in our favor, but we're also also in that the trial and error phase too.
That's fascinating, just thinking about how you really are strategizing for the entire year, you know, versus one tournament at a time. That's interesting. So, you know, part of this week is, you know, kind of a great cause that the Schooner
supports with the Toby Keith Foundation and the Kids Corral. If I understand right, you guys had kind of been scheduled to come out in 2020 and weren't able to because of COVID first year to be able to play in the schooner. So just give me a sense of the tournament overall and how your experience has been, and then specifically getting to go up to the Corral.
Mm-hmm. We've actually been trying to get to this tournament for multiple years, heard outstanding things, and then obviously with the piece with the children, just is something that we really wanted to be a part of. So we're thrilled to be here. From the moment that you've stepped here on this tournament, it's just been done unbelievably professional. It's also allowed the student athletes to have a wonderful experience with the gathering the first night, and then for them to go and be a part of seeing the house and with the children and the and what Toby Keith has done, and then what this tournament has done to enhance those relationships. It's been amazing to see that, and I think you know, it's a nice thing for our young ladies to see what this community does, and so they can spread that as they go on in life too.
Yeah, it's nice that I know how much you guys kind of grind and focus on the golf. To have, you know, some perspective, I think, in life is important. It seems like this tournament does that in addition to doing the golf well. Well, definitely can't let you slip away before I ask you about your star senior, Rachel Keene. You know, she's had an amazing amateur career, kind of done and seen it all at this point. It was nice to see her get a big, big trophy last May with NCAAs. You know, specific to her, when you think about coaching up somebody who's done it all and seen it all, you know, how do you keep her kind of motivated and eyes on the prize?
Mm-hmm. Rachel's a very self-motivated person in whatever she's doing, whether it's academics, golf, cornhole. I mean, it could be anything. You know, she's just a competitor, and she wants to do this for a living. So she comes out each day and gives it 100% because she knows each day, you know, she's going to learn from her successes and her possible failures. So she gives it 100% every day. Nothing that we do that's self-inflicted, and because of the goal she has in the future. Wonderful young lady. You'll see a lot of her.
I'm excited to get to see her in person for the first time today. Thanks for the time. Yeah. Good luck today in the final round.
Yeah, thank you, and thanks for having me. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Go Deeks.
The next bit here is a kind of an on-the-range session. Shout out to the Masters with the OU women's golf team. Kind of got out with them and tucked in next to Reagan Chaney as she was preparing for her final round, and talked a little bit with her about what's the routine like for a pre-tournament practice session? All right, so I'm curious. It's when you're on the range, kind of before any round, but specifically a final round, is the routine like always the exact same thing, or does it vary based on how you're playing, something you're working on specifically?
For me, it's always the exact same thing. Always on the range, my alignment stick, my head cover, just doing my drill, and then chipping, and then putting last.
You feel like that is similar for kind of all players, or do you ever have had teammates or see players that kind of vary things based on
their game? I think for everyone, it's a little bit different.
Play well, girls.
Yes.
I'll see you out there.
Yep, play well.
I love there at the end, it was Nina Lang that was finishing up her session, headed out. She was the first off for the Sooners on final round, and Nina means business, so that one ended a bit abruptly, but there you go. Routine is what they are preaching pretty much at every level of golf. Well, I hope you enjoyed this kind of potpourri clip session of the Year Still Out podcast, kind of wrapping up the Schooner. The Demon Deacons of Wake Forest did, in fact, run away with this one, finishing at 29 under par. The next closest was Virginia Tech at a mere 7 under par. So Wake Forest absolutely came out meaning business, picking up right where they left off with that NCAA championship last May.
And Purdue at -3 and Houston at -2, the only other two schools finishing under par over three rounds. Florida State finishes in the 5 spot at 1 over par. As far as state schools, Oklahoma State and Tulsa finished 6-7 at 3 over and 6 over respectively. Tough final round for the Sooners as hosts. Came into the final round tied for 5th and shoot 7 over par as a group on the final day to drop down into a tie for 8th with North Texas. Iowa State at +10, we heard from Coach Martins earlier in the pod. They round out that top 10 with a 10 over par finish for the Schooner. Probably a lot of focus on the individual title since Wake Forest was running away with the team title. Morgan Ketchum at -9 gets it done with a one-stroke victory over Tulsa's Lily Thomas. Definitely want to give it up to Morgan. She played great, but was super impressed with Lily, fifth-year senior out of Bentonville, Arkansas. Sneaky long off the tee. She had a great final round, came up just a shot short, but excellent form out of the fifth-year senior. The aforementioned Rachel Keene shot up the leaderboard today. That leaderboard gravity always seems to work when it comes to the top players, regardless of the level. She goes 68-69 with a 66 in the final round to finish tied for third with Mimi Rhodes of Wake Forest, Carolina Lopez-Shakara of Wake Forest. You can see why they added up to quite a team total. And yes, that Lopez-Shakara is the sister of Eugenio Chikara, who is having himself a great rookie campaign out on the LIV golf circuit. Eugenio was walking around Belmar and quite a star-studded weekend, actually. Alex Fitzpatrick, actually dating Rachel Keene. He was on property, got to meet him and chat a little bit. So a star-studded weekend out at Belmar. A few local shout-outs. Maddie Henson-Tolchard, just after a awesome 64 in the second round that bolted her into the lead, just didn't have it today. 72, she kind of had some interesting things going with the driver. She battled and battled and battled, got back into it late, but finishes 3 shots off the pace, set again by Morgan Ketchum. As far as the Sooners, setting the pace for them, T17 Savannah Barber finishes even par with a 1 under par 69 today. Overall, just an awesome event put on by Coach Veronique Druin-Luttrell, head coach of the Sooners. Again, you heard it from several of the coaches with the various clips. Just a first-class event, both from a golf perspective and from a charity perspective, supporting the OK Kids Corral for kids who are going through a very, very tough stretch with cancer. So shout out to Coach V and Coach Serm and newcomer Tanner George. They were really hustling all weekend to make the event a success while they also were trying to keep tabs on their squad. Folks, hope you enjoyed, again, a unique and action-packed podcast. We'll call it Schooner Live. Really appreciative of the chance to get to be such a big part of the event and are already looking forward to 2024. With that, we are on to Congregation Week. We'll have a pod up later this week previewing the 18th annual Congregation, aka the Cong, out at Boiling Springs Golf Club. There is no better place in golf to get outside and enjoy the walk.